Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Thank you for inviting me into your house. And as the scripture says, Paul saluted the churches which were in the homes. And that's where the New Testament church actually began. And the reason that we have church at home is because we need to start there again. And as we have seen, and we're going to cover again today, to complete the picture, how has the Christian world been deceived? How is it that they have the Bible? How is it that they can even use the Bible, but still preach lies? That's very interesting, isn't it? Now, to help you answer the question, that's why we have the 14 Rules of Bible Study, because that will help you begin to understand how to read and study the Bible and how to put it together. Now, let's come to Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and let's see a prophecy of today's preachers. Now, a lot of people don't like the Old Testament because they're told in their Sunday-keeping church where they go or whatever church they go to, or if you go to synagogue, you're told, oh, have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He's a fake, an imposter. Well, when you look at the Jesus that the world preaches, that's a true statement. Because you see, the Christian world has been deceived from the inside, not attacked from the outside. Oh, that's happened. But on the inside, and here's an interesting prophecy in Isaiah, the 30th chapter, which if you go to your television religious channel, this is exactly what you're going to see. Now, let's come to Isaiah 30 and verse 8, and let's read this prophecy. It is for today. And let's also understand that out of the current world Christian setting is going to arise the Antichrist. So let's see some of the reasons why. Let's see, not only are the ministers involved in teaching lies, adding and subtracting to God's word, not only are the politicians involved in it, yes, in their own lives and in the government because they don't want God there, but also the people. The ones who go to their churches and sit there and say, oh my, that's a wonderful sermon. He was so sweet and nice. When was the last time you ever went to church and heard somebody bring the truth which corrected you and corrected the whole congregation? Well, the way churches are set up today, that's hardly a possibility. So God also shows that people like to have nice purring messages given to them. They don't like the correction. They don't like to be told that they're sinning. So let's ask the question, which category do you fit in? So let's read this prophecy in Isaiah 30, and let's begin in verse 8. Go now, write it before them in a tablet, and note it in a book, so that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. And that means down to the latter days. And another thing, just in passing, we'll cover a little bit later, but I want you to understand, the Bible was made for this generation more than any other generation in the history of man. Now, I'll bring that out a little bit later. So let's see what else it says concerning the people. And as we do so, I want you to ask yourself some questions. What category do I fit in? Verse 9, Isaiah 30. That this is a rebellious people, lying children. I want you to think about that. Do you love God? Do you profess that you believe in God? Next question. Do you obey God? Next question. Do you have a relationship with God? Have you repented? Have you been baptized? Baptism in evangelical Protestantism has been rejected. And that's another reason how they have been deceived. Or they have a baptism which is not true. Let's see what else this says. Lying children. And how many times have I asked you to ask the question, how many lies have I believed? And how many lies have I heard when I go to church? How many lies do I tell? And how many lies have I accepted as being Christian, but are not? Because you see, the Christian world has been deceived not only by the false teachers who crept in unawares, not only by those who bring damnable heresies, but also by the people who sit in the pulpits and listen. So the only way, as we will see, to recover from the lies is to find the truth, believe the truth, and live by the truth. So there will be many, many programs which are going to be designed to help you understand the truth of the Bible, but you have to begin in your home, and you have to begin where there are no distractions, where you're not out there listening to preachers who sound good and wonderful and nice, but they really don't teach you the Word of God. Let's continue on. Verse 9, Isaiah 30. They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. I want you to think about that for a minute, too. Because the very first thing that happens is the Protestants say, if you keep the law, you are under the law and you are under a curse. Lie. Do you believe that? Have you believed that? Well, we're also going to answer that question, that is one of the biggest lies that has ever been perpetrated from the pulpit. Now, the Catholics say, oh, we don't even need the Bible. They hold the Bible in respect, but they give great reverence to the traditions of the fathers, who were not the original apostles, by the way. And so they have a religion that is all built upon traditions. And Protestantism has a religion claimed to be built on the Bible and on Christ, but it's not. Because they are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Now, we'll also cover that. Here's what else they say. Verse 10, who say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Oh, be kind. Be gentle. Don't be corrective. After all, we're sensitive people. Well, let's see what God says. Let's see what happens. And if you think that you're right in your Protestant religion or Catholic religion, well, then go. That's your choice. But if you want to know what the real truth is, you better stick around, because that's what you're going to be told. Because that is what is preached. Church at home is based upon the Word of God, the Scriptures of God, and we are not Protestant, we are not Catholic, we are not evangelical, we are scripturalists. So that we do exactly what Jesus said, live by every word of God. Now let's continue and see the other message that they say. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. you know, one of the greatest delusions that Protestantism believes in? The rapture. Why do they believe in that? Because they believe that all souls go to heaven when you die. The immortality of the soul is one of the most deceptive doctrines that has ever entered into Christianity. Do you believe in that? What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches the resurrection. Do you believe in the resurrection? A lot of people have never even heard of it. They go to a funeral and say, oh, there's Aunt Martha up in heaven looking down on us right now. And I remember one sermon about a man who loved golf, and there is Harry up in heaven with Jesus, and they are on the heavenly golf course, and he is playing golf with Jesus today. Smooth things, lies. Now let's try this one on for size, because this becomes very important. Let's see how you measure up with this. Measure yourself by what I've just read and what I'm reading right now. Verse 11. Go out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Have you believed and thought that God is a harsh, judging God, the Old Testament, and that Jesus is loving and kind and gentle and good? Therefore, we won't have anything to do with that Old Testament. Well, we're also going to cover who is Jesus and who was Jesus. And guess what? Before he was born of the Virgin Mary, he was the Lord God of the Old Testament. And some people say, how could that be? Well, God designed it that way. We'll also talk about that. Have you said that? Have you asked the ministers to get God out of your life? Preach us good things. Tell us how to be good people. Oh, give us moral values to live by. But don't tell us which day to keep. Oh, but you don't like to read about murders in your newspaper, do you? You don't like to read about rape and adultery and what happened here recently. One sex offender back in Cleveland got out of jail, and now they're finding that he kidnapped women and killed them and buried them right on his property. Why? Because of what I'm reading right here. See, if they would have loved the law of the Lord, God says, because he will take care of them after they die, he will resurrect them in his good time. God says, if there is a crime worthy of death, the government is to put them to death. And those women who were killed, 10 of them, would still be alive. Oh, no, we have to be do-gooders. We'll put them in jail. Capital punishment is cruel and unusual punishment. No, it's not. Locked up in a little cell for 30, 40, 50 years is cruel and unusual punishment. But you see, because they don't believe in God, and they don't believe in the laws of God, and they don't believe also in the New Testament, and they don't know the difference between the death penalty given to the nations and the death penalty that was given to Israel, which is a nation, and why the church does not have that, and why the church does not use the death penalty. Oh, we want nice, smooth things preached to us. Cause God to disappear. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, verse 12, because you have despised this word and trusted in oppression and perverseness and rely on them. Now, does that not describe our society? Yes, it does. How much of that describes you? Well, you know, you can repent of these things. God gives repentance. But since there is not repentance, look at what is going to happen to this nation and eventually the world. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. Just like I described with the man who, the sex pervert who was let out of prison and killed 10 women when God said he's worthy of death. Think about all the sins and crimes and problems in the nation and in the world shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, like a swollen wall, see, swelling out in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly, in an instant. Then what shall you do? You know, there's a parable in Matthew 25 where there were those who thought that they were really right with God, and they weren't. The parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And when the return of the Lord came, the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And the wise said, we can't do that. You go get oil for yourself. So are you going to be like the majority of human beings? Wait until a disaster happens. Wait until your life has fallen apart. Wait until the society has totally crumbled. Because, you see, God is going to do it. Verse 14, he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is smashed in pieces. He will not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take the fire from the hearth or to take water out of the pit. Well, that's what's going to happen. Let's see also the mechanics of how this came about. Let's come to Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. Now, this is quite a chapter. There are going to be some people say, well, all he does is read from the Old Testament. Well, hold on. We'll get to the New Testament. But you see, you can't understand the New Testament until you understand the Old. And so what I want you to do when you hear these things that I'm reading, I want you to ask the question, is it true today? The reason is because the Word of God is always true, has never been anything but true, and the Word of God, as Jesus said, one tittle of the law and prophets shall not fail. So I want you to think about that as we read this. Let's also understand something about the prophets. You'll see this with Moses and with all the prophets. The Lord said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, then he gave the instructions. When it comes to the prophets, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, say. So these are the words of God. And by the way, contrary to so many atheistic theologians, which is a contradiction in terms, don't you think? The word of God is true. Now, there have been some problems with some translations, but all the scriptures I read are from the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version with commentary. Now, let's pick it up here, verse 23. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, say to her, that is the children of Israel and the children of Judah, you are a land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. That's what's happening. Out here in California where we are, we're into our third year of drought. And you look at all the perverseness, and you look at all of the crime, and you look at all the oppression of government, and you look at the high taxes, and you look at the perversity of religion, the diversity of religion, and you will understand why there is drought and why there have been fires. As soon as a movement to approve gay marriage started in earnest here in California, we had forest fires break out everywhere. Was that just a coincidence? I'll let you think on that. Here's the key. Verse 25. There is a conspiracy of her prophets, that's all religious teachers, in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They devour souls. They've taken the treasure and precious things, and they have made many widows in her midst. You have the religious leaders. Now then, you have the professional religious leaders, the priests, the ministers, the pastors. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. How do they do violence to the law? Very simple. And it sounds so nice. Jesus did away with the law. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now we can do anything we want. And you wonder why the land is filled with sin. Now continue. Verse 26. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Every day is alike. Like some people say, well, what day do you worship on? I tell them I worship on the same day that Jesus did. What day do you worship on? Well, every day is holy. Well, I said, when do you work? God didn't make every day holy. He said, seventh day is holy, and 6 days shall you work. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath. Oh, we can't read about the Sabbath. That's from the God of the Old Testament. Really? Jesus was the God of the Old Testament. And in his ministry, he kept the Sabbath. Oh, well, that was for the Jews. Lie. God created the Sabbath and made it holy for all mankind. He also gave it to Israel. Let's go on. Hid their eyes from my Sabbath. It's a conspiratorial thing, you see. And I am profaned among them. So it's the religious leaders, number one. Let's see again here, verse 27. Her rulers in the midst are like wolves tearing the prey. Sounds a little bit like Isaiah 30. Yes, indeed. To shed blood and to destroy souls to get unjust gain. Whoa! Think about that. And also add into it all of these mammoth corporations that make money while they care little about the people and their health. Verse 28. Her prophets have covered themselves with whitewash, so they look beautiful. Cover everything on the outside. Jesus said, cleanse what's in the inside. Seeing false visions and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. Now what happens to the people? Because what do we have? We have the top religious leaders, we have all the pastors and teachers, and there's a conspiracy among them to hide their eyes from the Sabbath, to not teach what is true and right. The rulers have used oppression. They're like wolves tearing at the prey. Now, what about the people just like we read in Isaiah 30? All right. Verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression, have committed robbery. They have troubled the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger falsely. I sought for a man among them who should build up a wall for the land and stand in the breach before me so that I should not destroy it, but I did not find one. So God says he's going to pour out his fury. And that's why we're beginning to see the things that are taking place right now. So this is how the Christian world has been deceived. Now, I also want to mention to you that there is a book available, which you can get. And I've mentioned this many times, which is Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which? Now, this is a must book for you to read. Now, some people, when they see a skull on the front of it, they get a little upset. But the cover of the book tells you the message. The laws of God lead to life. Occult Holidays, which are all of those that you keep, lead to death. Now, you see, Satan's holidays, which are the occult holidays of this world, start out with what? Halloween, celebration of death. The holy days of God start out with a celebration of life. And everything about Halloween is a lie. You can read about it in this book. Then we move on to all the occult holidays. Did you know that Christmas is an occult holiday? Oh, well, it's a good, wonderful thing for family and friends and getting together, and we have such a good time. But it's based on a lie. Jesus wasn't born then. Santa Claus does not exist. He doesn't come down chimneys. He cannot possibly keep track of all children everywhere in the world, and he cannot come down all of those chimneys. And reindeer don't fly. And as a little kid growing up, I could never figure out why Santa Claus was in the department store where I would go around with my mother, and she would look and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And I was so young and stupid, I didn't understand that all the gifts were bought there until one time, after I was assured that Santa Claus existed, I happened to look in a closet, and guess what I found? Presents that Santa Claus was to bring. So I ran to my mommy and I said, Mommy, you said Santa Claus exists, but what are these presents doing in the closet? Well, she said, well, Santa Claus doesn't really exist. I said, that's a lie, isn't it? Oh, well, but it's a white lie, and we do it for good. That's the way people think. So to find out, Christmas is an abomination to God. And if you read in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, it talks about the hideousness of the Christmas tree. Oh, but we do it so good. And the Pope has blessed it. And the church has accepted it. Lie, 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 lie. That's how the Christian world has been deceived. And they are in the grips of the Antichrist, and in the grips of celebrating days, which we'll cover in some of these messages in the future, that God hates. So thank you for inviting me into your home. This is Fred Coulter saying, so long, until next time. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, which has hundreds of in-depth sermons covering all topics in the Bible. So until next time, goodbye.